Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Everybody, and welcome to our service of worship on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Our homilist today is Chancellor Janet Warren. We pray that you are blessed by this broadcast as we join our hearts in prayers together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God.
To you are all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has taught us that what we do for the least of your children, we also do for him. Give us the will to serve others as he was servant of all, who gave up his life and died for us, but lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Reading from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, beginning at the fifth verse. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Armenians, on one of the raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were here with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and would have his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan. According to the word of man of God, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, "I shall never be moved." By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. God our Father, glorious in giving and restoring life, you do not hide your face from your people overcome with loneliness and fear. Turn our mourning into dancing and raise us up with your Son, so that we may rejoice in your presence forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than the neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially those of the family of faith. See what large numbers I make when I'm writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision or uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord to harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labor deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the fourth Sunday of Pentecost. Yes, we're in that long stretch of the church calendar between Pentecost and Advent. And yep, that's a good portion of the year. This is known as Ordinary Time. Well, actually, the second Ordinary Time. The first is the span between Epiphany and Ash Wednesday. And the second is the time between Pentecost and Advent, by far the longest stretch of ordinary time. Some might think this time is boring or pretty ordinary, because there's nothing really exciting to celebrate, and yet, there's always some wonderful readings each week. Stay tuned weekly to our Blog Talk radio station for all that good stuff. This week, it was the first reading that caught my eye and my heart. To me, it makes two main points. But before we dive into that, you know that I love to give background and a little history to help fill in any blanks that might be helpful in your understanding where this reading is in the grand scheme of the things in the Bible. This reading's the second book of Kings, as was last week's first reading. Last week, we heard about Elijah and Elisha. Sometimes these two prophets get mixed up because they sound a little similar. Elijah was the older of the two and was a mentor to Elisha. In last week's first reading, Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, leaving Elisha to carry on the work that was needed to be done. That work was to be God's messengers to the kings of Israel. So, to set up today's reading, Elisha's now on his own doing all this work. At this time, the king of Israel is Joram, and the king of Aram is Ben-Hadad II, and the story focuses on Naaman and his troubles. And oh, the pronunciations I found for that name. I'll stick to one, the Hebrew pronunciation, which I think makes sense. Anyway, Naaman, who the reading says is the commander of the army of the king of Aram, had many things going for him, but he had leprosy. And for some crazy reason, the king of Aram thought that the king of Israel could cure him. So he sends him off to Joram with a letter asking for Joram to cure his commander. Well, you heard what happened. In verse 7, the king says, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of leprosy?" Well, at least Joram realizes his limitations and knows that he's incapable of such miracle. At this point, our dear prophet Elisha hears of this and sends word to Joram, saying in his message, that's in verse 8, "Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." As we all know, we don't go to kings or queens or presidents or prime ministers to be cured of a health ailment. We go to doctors. Or if you're lucky enough to know a great healer, that's where you go. Okay, first problem fixed. That's the problem of knowing where to go if you're ill. Remember, I said this reading had 2 points. Now that we've a resolution to the first, let's continue on to understand the second, which in my humble opinion is the main point. So what happens next after Naaman sorts out who to go to about his leprosy? Naaman arrives at the house of Elisha with all his splendor, his horses, his chariots, his entourage. Now, I'm not exactly sure that what Naaman was expecting, but what he got, as it says in verse 10, was a messenger of Elisha who simply says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be made clean." Bit of a letdown, I think. Can you picture it? Naaman was rather taken aback. Well, he was actually downright angry and possibly let go a few superlatives, I imagine. Here he, Naaman, the great commander of the army of Ben-Hadad, the second of Aram, and this supposed prophet Elisha cannot even be bothered to come to the door? Imagine. In verse 11, he says, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy." Perhaps looking for a little bravado here. Then in verse 12, he says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers, waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he stomps off. Well, he rides off with his horses and chariots, I imagine in a cloud of dust, quite annoyed. What happens next? Well, in verse 13, one of Naaman's servants says to him, "If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean?" Out of the mouths of babes, you might say. Miracles are much simpler than one might expect. Perhaps Naaman was expecting Elisha to come out in some sparkly garb with a wand or something, calling on God and some thunder and lightning or something, who knows. Of course, all that's possible. With God, anything is possible. But all that showy stuff is totally unnecessary. I mean, we know of the burning bush, of course. Awesome and amazing, but not necessary. So what does Naaman do in the end? Well, the last verse tells you. Verse 14 says, "So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean." Of course he was. God can do anything. If a true prophet gives you instructions from God, you follow those instructions. Voila, issue solved. Yep, there you have it. He followed those simple instructions and he was cured. Period. He needed to do nothing more. How many of us are expecting great and marvelous miracles with a lot of hullabaloo? Well, it's totally unnecessary. We see simple and marvelous miracles every day. And we don't need to climb to the top of a mountain looking for thunder and lightning or a burning bush. We just ask God for what we need in the quiet of our own home or even in the busyness of a crowd. And he listens. It's his jam. He wants the best for each of us, each and every one of us. I'm sure that many of you remember this passage, but let me read to you Matthew chapter 7, starting at the 7th verse. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Isn't that awesome? So truthfully, Naaman didn't need to go to see the king of Israel, nor did he even need to go to see Elisha. And he certainly didn't need to show up with the horses and chariots and whatever entourage he traveled with. He simply needed to ask. And so do you. I'll caution you, however, if you're asking and not getting what you're asking God for, take heed to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Aha! Well, I should probably also caution you that everything is also in God's time and not ours. But that's a homily for another day. So let me finish with this lovely prayer from Debbie McDaniel. Dear God, we confess our need for you today. We need your healing and your grace. We need hope restored. We need to be reminded that you work on behalf of those you love, constantly, powerfully, completely. Forgive us for trying to fix our situations all on our own. Forgive us for running in all different directions and spinning our wheels to find help, when true help and healing must be found first in you. Forgive us for forgetting how much we need you, above everyone and everything else. We come to you and bring you the places we're hurting. You see where no one else is able to fully see or understand. You know the pain we've carried, the burdens, the cares. You know where we need to be set free. We ask for your healing and grace to cover every broken place, every wound, every heartache. Thank you that you're able to do far more than we can ever imagine. Thank you for your mighty power that acts on behalf of your children. We reach out to you and know that you are restoring and redeeming every place of difficulty, every battle for your greater glory. Thank you that you will never waste our pain and suffering. We love you. We need you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. A time of intercessory prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, hear and have mercy. We pray for all who confess the name of Christ. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for those whose lives are bound in mutual love, and for those who live in celibacy. Be their joy and their strength.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all in danger, for those who are far from home, prisoners, exiles, victims of oppression, grant them your salvation.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all who are facing trials and difficulties, for those who are sick, Diane, Aaron, Carol, Donna, Bill, Dave, Phyllis and Pat, Pat and Dave, Sherry, Doug, Charlene, Philip, Shane, Jane, Nancy, Victor, Bruce, June. And those who are dying, show them your kindness and mercy.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for one another. May we always be united in service and love.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray to be forgiven our sins and set free from all hardship, distress, want, war, and injustice.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we discover new and just ways of sharing the goods of the earth, struggling against exploitation, greed, or lack of concern. May we all live by the abundance of your mercies and find joy together.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we be strengthened by our communion with all Christ's saints.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. linked by spirit, voice, and intention. We are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving action. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.